All right, ready for our message then? We'll go to that. I'm going to mute everybody, and then we'll switch the screen around. Tom, were you going to say something? Somebody sounded like they were just going to say something.
I just said I'm excited.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, so let me switch the screen over then. There we go. So our message today is called Turning Point. And it's going to involve a little bit of, you know, this week here in terms of finding out about the COVID positive within our school. And it's funny how when something like this hits, it hits at home much closer than just watching it on the national news or even just reading it in the paper and knowing that some other place has been hit. But this week, my home, I guess, got hit in the sense of my area in Russell and Edwards. So let's just begin with a word of prayer, and we'll talk about that and relate it to Scripture. Father Almighty, I thank you for this time that we have here today. I thank you for the sunshine that is coming upon us and in this nice fall day. We gather here today to fellowship and to worship and to give our praises and concerns to you, to have communion together, to just hear songs of joy, and to even hear your word. So, Father, I ask for your blessing on this message, that it just touches those around us and maybe draws us a little closer to you and helps us to make some choices about the future. So, Father, we give you all of this, and we thank you and know that the Holy Spirit will do his job to reach this out to those that need it. And this we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. So we're looking at our screen here, and we've got, this is what was in the news. COVID-19 case leads to Edwards Knox Central moving to remote learning until October 14th. And that was Thursday, October 1st in 2020. I remember it was like 12 o'clock, and the kids just came in for that fifth period class, and they're all like, oh, we're going home at 12:30, we're going home at 12:30, and I'm like, I didn't even know we were going. You guys even know. But, you know, they pay attention to that stuff more than I do. And come to find out, you know, there's a positive COVID case right in our school. And, you know, you think the worst. You think that, oh, my gosh, you know, the whole school is going to be contracted with COVID, and there's going to be one case popping up after another. There's going to be, the Department of Health, you know, quarantining every individual that's there and going into every room and taking numbers and addresses and taking swabs of certain individuals. It wasn't quite like that. It was actually really well organized and really well laid out, that we were just going home, and I think the school was very transparent with information, and the meeting we had on Friday afterwards was actually really good. It was nice to be able to be able to trust your school administrators and trust the Department of Health and just encourage and other individuals, you know, that can be kind of scared by all of that. But it kind of hit me in the sense that I know Messina had closed a little bit and Carthage had something. There was some, Watertown even had a couple of cases. And the thing is, like, well, I understand that, and like I was saying earlier, but when it hits home, it feels different. It just feels like it's here for real, and it's not just something we can read about, it's not something we see on the news, we're experiencing it ourselves. And the effects that it has on people, you know, like personally, that there are some that are obviously that were affected by the COVID and came back positive. They're those that had to be tested and quarantined for 2 weeks, even though their tests came back negative. And how that affects even our friends and family, especially when we're in that quarantine mode, or when there's that possibility of, well, maybe I didn't come in contact with them, but maybe I, you know, for some reason I'm going to come down with it, even though I wasn't part of that original list, coming in contact with the ground zero person, if I can call it that. And then how it affects our community in the sense that now everybody has to have home care, you know, for their little ones. There's people like Hope probably won't be going into work until like Thursday and stuff. So, you know, she's not working Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. And there's other people too that be the same way. And what happens with the pay? What happens with, you know, just what do we do when we're at home? And sometimes we have a hard time accepting that, and we get frustrated. We go onto Facebook and we start, speaking or putting our words out there, whatever we hear, or sometimes we just accept it and say, "Yep, this is just life, and that's the way it's gonna go." And then we look afterwards and say, "Well, what is next? You know, how long is this going to happen, and what should my response be through this COVID?" You know, I don't say really it's an outbreak because we're only looking at two people so far that tested positive. It's like, what, you know, what's the long range plan? Is this going to happen to us again? You know, when we finally get back to school and 2 weeks later, we're going to have to, you know, go remote again. We don't know. I just remember what Tom Best said. I think it was his principal in Harrisville, or superintendent maybe, said it's not a matter of if it's going to hit our schools, it's a matter of when is it going to hit our schools. And because when we start having an attitude like that, then we have to be prepared for it. Now, this message is not about COVID, but I just wanted to bring all this stuff up because I feel like, you know, to us, you know, when this COVID stuff comes out there, we know it's there, and we know it's an underlining aspect of our lives. And some people it really, really affects, and other people's it seems to, you know, at least other communities, and maybe even sometimes, you know, large counties and stuff like that, it basically ignores them, and doesn't seem to have the effect of other places. Now, if I can take a spin on this one here and look at, you know, even though when we look at COVID as being a negative thing, it's a disease, it's something that's lurking out there, something that we don't know how it's going to affect us. We know that it's kind of detrimental. We know that it can really hurt us. We know that we can be carriers of that and hurt other people. But I want you to let you know that there are things out there in this world that are good things. And there's things out there that affect us in a positive way. And we can even be scared about those things. Now, one of the items that I'm talking about is the gospel. Now, the gospel is out there. The gospel has been there for a long time. Just as respiratory diseases, whether it's influenza, whether it's the COVID, heart attacks have been out there. All of these things are out there. And we always tend to just kind of put those things off to the side. You know, I'm too young for that. That's not in my family. I don't need to worry about that type of disease. But when it hits home, it becomes what I call a turning point. It's where you have to face it and you have to make a choice. Sometimes the choices are hard and sometimes they're already made for you. But when it comes to the gospel, it's a choice that you have to make. And when the gospel is being preached and when the gospel is out there, then what happens is it does start to affect us personally. And especially when the gospel is being preached right around you. We know that there's Christians around this world. We know that there's churches that have been planted in places where, you know, you would think a Christian church could never be planted. There's underground churches. There are scripture verses being passed hand by hand sometimes because the Bible's too big to be kept secret. There's radio broadcasts and Christian ones, and there's televangelists that are on TV giving message after message on a Sunday, or you know, just repeated ones from the past. It's out there. But you know, just like sometimes with the COVID case, there are times that we tend to reject it and say, oh, that doesn't affect me, that doesn't have anything to do with me. But then when you come into contact with it, when you have that turning point where you have to deal with it, it becomes real. And the gospel is kind of the same thing. It's, the gospel's been out there for ages. And people know that it's out there. But they really haven't come in contact with it. I want to think about the first scripture verse that I have that we're going to be looking at is going to be, you know, what if the gospel affects us? And so this next slide is that it does affect you. That the gospel is out there, whether you want it to or not. Just like with COVID, in the sense, in the negative aspect, that it changes our lives because we have to wear masks now. We have to keep socially distanced. We have to be careful that we use more hand sanitizer than maybe we've never used that before. We have to have an adjustment of our lives. Well, when the gospel comes out and we hear the gospel and it affects us, you know what? It's going to affect us personally. And here's some scripture verse that kind of talks about that when it was kind of neat. So in Mark 10:46-47, it says, then they came to Jericho. This is Jesus and his disciples and stuff. And as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And can you imagine being this individual, Bartimaeus, where he's blind, so he can't really get around the way he would normally get. But you could still hear, you could hear that there was this Jesus character out there that was saving people, and they had a lot of people following on him, and there was an awful lot of the disciples, you know, they're doing their ministry along with Jesus. And he happens to come down your road, the place where you might be seated every day to be able to beg for a coin, or to beg for some food, to be able to make it through just this day, maybe enough to make it through the end of the day. And here's this man Jesus coming, because you've heard about him and it's like, oh yeah, he's great, he's out there and everything, but now he's here. And Bartimaeus makes a choice. He could just sit there and let that train of individuals just walk right on by him, or he can start calling out the name of Jesus. So that he becomes personally affected by Jesus, that Jesus would answer his call. And by the way, if you want to know what goes on later on, Jesus does answer the call. So not only does it affect us personally, but it also affects us, like with our relatives and our friends, those that are around us, our surrounding people and everything. So we've got our relatives and we've got our friends that it's going to affect. And the essence of this is that when we are touched by the gospel, or even when a friend close to us is touched by the gospel, it doesn't stay there. It moves on. And here's a perfect example of in John 1:40-42, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard that John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. So Andrew found Jesus. And what does he do? He goes back to his friends. He goes back to his relatives, and he shares the gospel, and he shares the knowledge that he has that Jesus is in town. It's not just any Jesus, but it's the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one. The Emmanuel. And it's like, so being affected by the gospel, not only does it affect you personally, but it's going to affect the people around you and directly around you. And when we look at the community that, that comes into this too, you're going to see that how that even affected the area around Jesus. And it says in Luke 8, 4 through 5, it says, while a large crowd was gathering at and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable that a farmer went out to sow seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, it was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. And he continues on, but wherever the people went, they heard the gospel, and they heard the words that God had for those individuals. Sometimes, a lot of times, it was in parables. Jesus would answer questions. Sometimes Jesus challenged the Pharisees in large communities, and it was like people were amazed. It said, how is it that he has this information, and isn't he just a carpenter from Nazareth? Isn't he Mary and Joseph's son? I mean, how does he get all of this information? And is he not, he's no Pharisee that has been through all of this schooling? And yet his words affected everybody around them. Now, I know COVID is kind of a negative thought, but the gospel is a very positive thing. And when, everybody's kind of like, I don't want COVID, and they're willing to cover up and everything. But when it comes to the gospel, it's kind of funny. We get mixed reactions by that. So when that gospel is out there, the question is, what's your reaction to it? And there's basically only two that you're going to have. You're going to have one or the other. Either you're going to accept it, and we can look at a verse where this happened in John 10:42, and in that place, many believed in Jesus. They came in contact with him. They felt his presence. They felt the holiness of him. They felt, the movement of the Holy Spirit even through him. That the aura of Jesus, just to be able to sit there and listen to him like he was, no other man, that he was able to speak with authority. And he had a certain solidity about him that it seemed like nobody else had. A consistency. It was different than what they were taught. And it was sometimes challenging. But the people, in this case here, you can look at the many that came to believe in Jesus. See, that's the reaction that you're going to have when it comes to the gospel. Is that when you sit down and you try to bring it in to you as much as you can, and pull it in from even from multiple sources, and that can be, scripture, from messages, from workshops that you go to, from, biblical books, Bible studies, prayer time, all of that. It just adds to it. And if people are hungry to be able to know this gospel. But our reaction can be another way too, that we can take that gospel that's being preached and we can reject it. There's a time that many of Jesus's disciples were having a hard time with what he was saying. And John 6:60 says, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is hard teaching. Who can accept it? And Jesus's teaching at this point is saying that, you need to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And people are saying, this is too hard. This is not something that, I'm willing to sit down and turn and learn to digest this stuff here. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to push it aside. This gospel is not for me. many disciples at this point decided to leave Jesus and his ministry. And it's funny, even like with COVID stuff, you know, there's still people that are out there and really feel like this is, it's nothing. Until it hits home. Now, fortunately, in our area, we haven't got anybody that's hospitalized. There isn't any of that, which, you know, we're very thankful to God with that. But as of now, within the United States, we've had over 200,000 deaths because of COVID. No one in my family has been killed because of that. But there are family members, in some families, where there's multiple seats that are empty at the kitchen table because of COVID. You see, they can't reject it because it's given to them in a way that's not given to everyone. So when we start looking at this reaction of whether we're going to accept the gospel or we're going to reject the gospel, see where it comes to, then the next question is, well, what happens next? What happens down the road when even this COVID case starts to minimize, you know, Edwards Knox gets back to normal mode again as much as we can, all the kids come back to school. Do we just forget about the fact that we had a couple hot spots? Do we forget about the fact that there's still other places within our country and around the world that are dealing with COVID an awful lot? Do we forget about the fact that the gospel is still out there being preached? That it's still harmonizing with people? That it's still making a difference in the lives of those that hear that gospel? Well, we can look at this and we can embed it in our memory. And like even like this year here, there was at school, we still had a moment of silence where we remembered 9/11. Now that was quite a while ago. And yet, we don't want to forget about that because we become complacent. Now you know exactly where I'm probably going to go with this about 9/11 and the fact that right after 9/11, there was a lot of churchgoers. There's a lot of people that were seeking answers and coming to God and praying. But how long did that last? How long did it go before all of a sudden the churches became empty again? Before we just went back to our normal mode? But in this case here, what happens next is that we can embed it in our memory. And I like a scripture verse when we go to Joshua, chapter 24, verse 31. It's right near the end of Joshua's reign as leader of the Israelites. He wasn't king, but he was a prophet. He was a man that God spoke to, and he led the people into the promised land and divided the promised land. And he was about ready to die. So it says here in this verse that Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua because he had great leadership. And of the elders who outlived him and who had experienced everything the Lord had done for Israel. What this is saying is that for a whole generation or more, after Joshua left this earth, they continued to serve the Lord. A whole generation without the leadership of Joshua, because it was so embedded in their memory of how to serve God and how to, please God, how to worship Him, and how to proclaim His name, and to teach that to your children and to your children's children. So in this is what happened after Joshua, is that the people continued to serve the Lord even when they didn't have a direct leader. because it was that embedded in their memory in terms of how important it was to serve. Well, we're going to look at the flip side of that, and we can, what happens next is that we can just erase all of this from our memory. We can try to just forget about, you know, the circumstance that you know, that COVID came into Edwards, and when it doesn't hit the storylines anymore, the newspapers, it's gone. It's just out of our memory. Or when the gospel comes and we hear it, all of a sudden, yeah, that's all great. We're going to make some big changes. But then over time, we just end up doing nothing. What happens next? Well, we're going to go to Judges, because this is the book right after Joshua. And the Israelites always got themselves into trouble if they didn't have a good leader. And in Judges 3:7, it says, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot the Lord, their God, and served the Baals and the Asherahs. That the gospel that was preached to them, that gave them that close connection to God, they forgot about it. And they went about their way, and instead of taking time to know the Lord, they took time to serve their idols. So see, when we hear the gospel and it touches us and it moves us, we'll take time to serve the Lord then. But will we continue afterwards to serve the Lord, even when it seems like others around us are forgetting the gospel? And it happens so often. It happens almost all the time. And we can look at this, and I can tell you right now, is people do not want to live in this COVID time. You know, there are people that are just flat out refusing to wear masks, to do social distancing, because they want just life to be normal. Sometimes when we're given the gospel, we just want life to be like it was before, but it can't happen. Because when the gospel touches us, there's some truths that have been given to us, and we're responsible for those truths. That we have to carry them on and learn more of that, because it's what God intended for us. You know, I say this because I'm not saying it just because I'm a Christian. I want more Christians out there. It's not that. It's because I want you to know the truth. I truly believe that the gospel of God is the absolute truth. That Jesus did come and die for our sins here. I want people to know that. I want people to believe that. Not just on my account, but because it's the truth. And just like with COVID, I want people to realize that that respiratory disease is out there. And yet sometimes we get the reporters, you know, that are interviewing some people, and they just say, oh, just... It's still fake. They still say it's fake. And I'm like, how can you do that? All these people have died, and there's so much money that's been put into it in terms of everybody's wearing masks, you know. How can you say it's fake? It's just, they want to erase it from their memory. But you can't. It's there. You can't erase the gospel because it's there. You can't pretend that there is no hell because it's there. You can't pretend that there's no heaven because it's there. The last verse I have is maybe a good collection of all of this. We're going to go into the book of Jude, and we're going to read some 17 through 25. And I want you to think about, as I'm reading this here, that the gospel affects you. That there's a reaction you're going to have to the gospel, and then what are you going to do with it when you do have it? And this is what Jude is writing about. This is kind of the summation of scripture verses that we've been looking at. In Jude 17:25, it says, "But dear friends, remember what the apostles are of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. We've got people here that have made two different choices. One that have rejected the gospel, and they just want to go on mere fleshly thoughts and fleshly desires. And then there's those that have taken the gospel, and they're given words of encouragement to don't fall back. Persevere. Stay true to the words that have been given to you. As we continue to read, it says, "Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy, mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen." So it says here that we have to work with those individuals around us, the ones that have rejected the gospel, and that we need to help them see the truth. And just like in with the COVID stuff, you know, there's so much being spoke about in the news and on television and in the paper and other places too, and even from the health organizations. Wear a mask. You know, sometimes we have to help people by making laws to force them to do it. But Christ doesn't make a law to follow him. That's our personal choice. And so we need to be merciful for those that have not chosen Christ. We need to be merciful to those that for some reason are stuck in these ruts, either with drug addiction, money problems, job problems, relationship problems, and they can never seem to get over those sort of things. We're here to help them see the truth. And who's going to sustain us but God himself? We need encouragement. We need to be upheld. And if the world around us is falling, we still stand because God is holding us. That we'll be presented before God, as it says, without fault. What a day that'll be. I'm looking forward to that one. And I'm looking to see, you know, my friends and family that'll be around me. That'll be a glorious day. But it centers around this, that we have one God, one Savior, one Spirit that holds us all. And that one God always has been, is, and will always be God. We get this miraculous opportunity to be able to choose him as our Lord and Savior. And not only that, but we get this miraculous opportunity to live him this time in our lives. Even when there's scoffers that are out there, those that don't believe, those that are inflicted with the gospel right in their face, and they still deny it. We have an opportunity in which to show God's mercies to those around us. Why? Because he's showing us the greatest mercy. That he has accepted us, regardless of the sin that we have, or the things that we've done, He accepts us. And if he can accept us, he can accept others regardless of their sins. We just need to surrender ourselves to him and trust him. He is the one glorified. He is the one with majesty. He is the one with power and authority. He is Jesus Christ. And always will be. Father, I thank you for this message, and I thank you that sometimes we're hit right in the face with COVID, and our response to that is going to be important. But more importantly than that, a response to the gospel that's hit us right in the face. That has eternal consequences. Father, help us to be around those, to give a calmness, a stillness during this time of uncertainty. Father, give us the words to say to others, to encourage them to seek you and not let go. Father, give us the gifts that we need in order to accomplish your will. And use those gifts in accordance to your will, and only accordance to your will. Help us to pray, Lord, to say the things that need to be said, and pray for the things that need to be prayed for. Help your gospel not only to reach the community, not only just to reach our friends and family, but to reach us. Help us to accept it, and help us to hold on to it forever and ever and ever. This is my prayer through your Son, Jesus. Amen.